Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. Before I begin the message today, I just want to mention about the audio message, our audio message page there, where I have recorded messages. You may have noticed a new little audio player that I installed on that web page. And something I've been working on for quite a while is trying to get these messages to streaming audio. And so I finally found a program that I purchased here just last week, and it's taken me some time to study it and fiddle with it to understand it. That's one of the things that's been keeping me from doing it is the difficulty aspect of it. And in some of them actually the cost was a little bit way too much. So, but I found one that was affordable and that I could actually use without destroying my website or computer. And it makes it easy for someone like me who doesn't know HTML code all that well. I'm still learning it, and so it's something I've experimented with this week, and it's working. I don't know if I'm going to go back and do all the messages there. I may just use those like an archive message for anyone who wants to download them. And for the time being, anyway, just put the latest message into that streaming little player where it can be played instantly off the website. Also, this particular program, one reason why I purchased it is because it will also do videos, and I've actually tested a video recording that I did last week and placed it on a back page that you can't see on the website. It's just a page that's not published. I have other pages that are published and some that aren't. So the ones that are published you can see on the internet. But so I have a little page that I practice things with. Excuse me, audio and video that I've been working on, and this one actually did work, and it streams from the website. This company that I have to pay X number of dollars a month to use their website as a server to stream from, but it works very well. The only problem with the audio and the video is that I'm limited to 1 hour per message, so that may be to advantage for some of you that think I'm too long-winded. But if the message does go over an hour, I just have to simply copy and paste the HTML into another player and put them back to back as a part one and part two. So it's really not that big of a deal. It just takes a lot of time to get it loaded that way. It is time-consuming, but yet it makes it convenient for people that just want to click and play a message instead of having to download. Okay, for the message today, if you need a title, it is Now God Speaks to You Ministers. Now God Speaks to You Ministers. And what this is I'm going to be reading from an article that Mr. Armstrong wrote, and that's the title of the article, Now God Speaks to You Ministers. And it's from the Good News, October, November of 1979, by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. And I'll be reading through this article and pausing every now and then to make some comments, because it's very, very much up to date. And it coincides with other things that are on the website. The page that I have there where Mr. Armstrong commented, and it was the Worldwide News that was entitled Congress of Leading Ministers, Here's Redefined the Mission of the Church, or something to that effect. But that was that particular page at the very bottom or close to the end of that Worldwide News, that the entire Worldwide News was a one long article by Mr. Armstrong. And close to the end of it, he gives the ministry, because he was addressing the ministry, he was giving them a warning not to let Ezekiel 34 apply to them, because that warning was to them as well. So this message is for those who, ministers out there, and anyone following them, or anyone else, who think that Mr. Armstrong never used those prophecies in Ezekiel 34 to God's ministry, that he only applied it to the Protestant or the worldly ministers, so to speak, of this nation. Well, that's not true. Mr. Armstrong very, very much applied it to the ministry. And this article, Now God Speaks to You Ministers, from 1979, is addressed to God's ministry. And we'll see that he does cover, indeed, Ezekiel 34. So with that, I'll begin reading. Mr. Armstrong says, years ago, I proclaimed on the air a great deal from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was among the Jewish captives of the 604 to 585 BC captivity by Babylon of the kingdom of Judah. This was more than 125 years after the kingdom of Israel had been invaded, conquered, and moved from Palestine to Assyria on the southern shores of the Caspian Sea. But both the Assyrians and their slave Israelites had long since migrated northwest into Europe and Britain when Judah was made captive by Babylon. When Ezekiel wrote, as God inspired, he was among the Jewish slaves beside the river Chebar, or Kibar, yet the message Ezekiel was inspired by God to write was written primarily to Israel, not Judah. Ezekiel's message is not to the Jewish slaves among whom Ezekiel was living. It was to the house of Israel, Ezekiel 2 verse 3 and 3 verse 1. The prophet Ezekiel was never able to break loose from the Babylonian slavery and proclaim his message to the kingdom of Israel, by then dwelling in Western Europe and Britain. The message of the book of Ezekiel is God's message to us today, for we are the people of the ancient house of Israel, of the tribe of Manasseh. And he has a parenthetical statement here. He says, see, and you'd better believe our booklet on the U.S. in prophecy, close parentheses. Next subtitle on this is a modern Ezekiel raised up, a modern Ezekiel raised up. Since the original writer Ezekiel was not able to go to the people of the house of Israel, God showed me years ago that it remained for God to raise up modern Ezekiel, quote-unquote modern Ezekiel, to carry this prophetic message to the modern Israel of today. And that means primarily the English-speaking people. I have proclaimed the Ezekiel message to our peoples by radio, television, and by personal appearance and in print for more than 40 years. No one else has. A pause from reading. So that's a very bold statement there, brethren. But Mr. Armstrong emphatically understood and said that he was the modern Ezekiel. So for any who dispute that, you stand corrected, or you are in dispute with God's apostle, one or the other. I'll continue reading. The Church of God is founded, now listen to this, brethren, the Church of God is founded on the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The prophets upon whom the church is founded are not New Testament prophets. Only four are mentioned, and not one of them contributed to any doctrines or beliefs to the church. But the apostles did, and they quoted at great length from so-called Old Testament prophets. So that's a break from reading, but so for those today that are claiming to be prophets, you better take heed to this statement from God's apostle. And I'll phrase it again. The prophets, here, and I'll quote, the prophets upon whom the church is founded are not New Testament prophets. Only four are mentioned, and not one of them contributed to any doctrines or beliefs to the church. But the apostles did, and they quoted at great length from so-called Old Testament prophets. Continue reading on. Therefore, Ezekiel's message is for us today. I pause from reading. Brethren, I'll tell you, it is more for us today than it has ever been. It continues to be for us today, and even more so. And I'll go on to show you why, because Mr. Armstrong makes an interesting statement here. This was written 7 years before he died. And you remember the last 7 years of his life, 7 to 9 years of his life, he spent mainly dedicated to putting the church back on track, because it had gotten off track. So continue reading. First, God prepared me in a special way, then called me in a manner to wipe my mind clean of every other or previous belief and to come to his truth in a manner experienced by none other in recent times, conquering me completely, submissive to him and his word. He started his work in his church in a very small way, but it grew and grew and became a large worldwide church. God, in due time, added you ministers to number one, feed the local flocks, see, feed the local flocks, and two, to stand staunchly and loyally with me in carrying Christ's gospel to the world. Well, pause from reading. Well, today, we see that gospel commission has been fulfilled by God's apostle, but yet, at the same time, those men no longer stand staunchly and loyally with Mr. Armstrong and what he taught, do they? No, they do not, and we'll go on to see this. Continue reading. Now, the largest nation in the world has made plans for my official visit with their top-ranking men of the People's Republic of China shortly after the Feast of Tabernacles. I constantly thank God for you loyal ministers and your faithful wives, and for the way Christ is using you in furthering his work. God has called us that we must all speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, in perfect harmony and love, that we may be of one mind in the mind of Christ. Pause from reading. Well, today, as we see, brethren, that is not so. The ministers today do not speak the same thing. They don't speak the same thing that Herbert Armstrong did, and they certainly don't speak the same thing as each other do. So they are in violation of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, and they are not in perfect harmony and love, and they are not of one mind, and they're not of that mind of Christ. So I'll read this again. He says, Mr. Armstrong says, I constantly thank God for you loyal ministers and your faithful wives and for the way Christ is using you in furthering his work. God has called us that we must all speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1:10, in perfect harmony and love, that we be of one mind, the mind of Christ. Now listen to this next statement, brethren. He says, but now I do feel we must seriously consider God's warning message to our nations and to the ministry of his church through Ezekiel. I'll read it again for those that doubt. But now I do feel we must seriously consider God's warning message to our nations and to the ministry of his church through Ezekiel. This is of crisis importance right now. Pause from reading. Well, brethren, I can say that crisis is even worse now than it was then. And Mr. Armstrong knew that it was a crisis, and now it has led into a crisis of division. See, that this prophecy that he warns us of, that I'm about to read to you, has come to pass. And Mr. Armstrong read this prophecy of Ezekiel, proclaiming that message as a warning to the nations, but also to God's ministers. This was addressed to the ministry, this article. It came to pass and has been fulfilled. They did not heed. Okay, the next subtitle, A Message to the Lost Ten Tribes. Ezekiel starts his book by saying, I was among the captives, or slaves, by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God, Ezekiel 1, verse 1, in the land of the Chaldeans, or Babylon, verse 3. The first chapter merely records what Ezekiel first saw in the vision. It contains no message he is to deliver. See, there's no message in that first part. That first chapter that he was to deliver. He seemed to be taken in heaven in vision, preparing him to receive the message, which is to the lost house or kingdom of Israel. It is not a message to Judah or the Jews, but to the by then lost house of Israel, the ten tribes. Mr. Armstrong says, I proclaim, now listen to this, was interesting. I proclaimed much of Ezekiel's, much of Ezekiel's message to Manasseh, and Ephraim during the 1930s, 1940s, and 1950s. But I was ahead of my time, or else God has deliberately slowed down prophesied world events. And listen to this. We are now coming into the time for proclaiming Ezekiel's message. Well, why would he pause from reading? Why would he say that, brethren, that we're now coming into the time of proclaiming Ezekiel's message if he did it through the 1930s, 1940s, and 1950s? Well, he goes on to say, I was ahead of my time, or else God has deliberately slowed down prophesied world events. Well, he later on said, a couple of years after this, in the 80s, that God had held back for some reason, or delayed certain prophecies that are taking place. So, and then he makes this last statement. We are now coming into the time for proclaiming Ezekiel's message. From the time Mr. Armstrong wrote this, he only lived seven more years, see? He died in 1986, and this was written in 79. So he lived almost seven more years. Now, did he spend that 7 years proclaiming Ezekiel's message again to the nations of Israel? Not as much as he did in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when the World Tomorrow broadcast was dedicated strictly to that. He spent those last years getting the church back on track. Now, granted, he was still doing the World Tomorrow broadcast on television, and a lot of that was a warning. A lot of it was to the church, too, at the time, because he did cover some doctrinal things, but the warning did go out. And there's no doubt that he was the Ezekiel watchman unto the house of Israel. And so my question is here, though, again, why did he say we are now coming into the time for proclaiming Ezekiel's message? Well, because that message is still up to date today, and that message is still going out, see? That message didn't stop when he died. The gospel commission did, preaching the gospel to the world as a witness, but the warning to this nation and to God's people didn't, and it's taking on a different and a deeper meaning now. The same meaning, but yet supplying spiritually as well as physically. And we'll go on to see this, because Mr. Armstrong touches on this in this article. And again, I remind you that we are now in a time of a watchman work. And this is what that watchman work entails, is addressing the ministry and addressing God's people to wake up and to get back to what God warned us about from the beginning. So let me continue reading the next paragraph. When Ezekiel saw in vision this first chapter whirlwind and the glory of the eternal, he fell forward upon his face. And then he heard a voice speaking to him, saying, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, stand upon thy feet unto me, and I will speak to thee. And he said to me, son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, even unto this very day. And Mr. Armstrong has in parentheses, our day now, last half of the 20th century. Next paragraph, in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, go, get thee, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak my words to them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech. Mr. Armstrong says, the lost house of Israel in the three or four generations since their removal from northern Palestine had lost their Hebrew language. They had lost God's Sabbath and thereby their knowledge of God and their identity. I'll pause from reading. Well, today, many of God's own people have done that. They're losing the true concept and understanding of the Sabbath and their identity. I'll continue reading now. But today, Mr. Armstrong says, God has raised up this work of his church to carry this message to the lost Israelites, whose true identity God has revealed to us. And to us, they are not a people of strange speech. And then he goes on to continue. He says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. That's verse 7. Mr. Armstrong says, our peoples today will not listen nor heed God's warning message. Pause from reading. The same as today, brethren. God's national people, and especially God's spiritual people, his church, are not listening to this message, but they're going to have to because it's going to come to pass. We're about to come upon a time, as Mr. Armstrong just said, I just read to you, that it's time for proclaiming this message, because God's going to say there's no more delay. As I mentioned in a previous message, that there's going to be no more delay, that he'll bring these prophecies to pass. Continue reading. Verse 17, son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Mr. Armstrong says, today the English-speaking peoples. In chapter 4, verse 13, and the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whether I will drive them. A forewarning for the United States and British peoples now. See? And why do I say it's up to date? Because it hasn't happened yet. See, Mr. Armstrong said for some reason these prophecies had been held back. And he did say he was ahead of his time. See, and just like all the apostles were ahead of their time. I'll continue. He says, continue, speaking of the American and British peoples, wherefore, as I live, says the Lord Eternal, a third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword. And he says, this parenthetical, the sword of nuclear destruction in our day, round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them. That's chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. God's fury is an expression used many times in prophecies to indicate the trouble soon to strike us. The great tribulation, in the first phase of the day of the Lord, which shall climax in Christ's second coming. It is clearly evident that this prophecy is for our peoples and for our time, latter half of the 20th century. Pause from reading. Well, it didn't happen in the latter half of the 20th century. Does that mean Mr. Armstrong was a false apostle? Absolutely not. Or false prophet? No, absolutely not. It just simply means, just like the other apostles, and like he said, he was ahead of his time. But they are going to happen. And so there's still a warning going out through this website, and this voice is God speaking to us through his word that these are going to take place. And it's going to fall upon the English-speaking peoples first, and that includes God's people. So says his word. God's own people, his church. I'll continue reading. This prophecy never took place in the Old Testament times, continuing into chapter 6. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, verse 6. This could be accomplished only by nuclear destruction. The time of this prophecy is now just ahead of us. Well, I agree with that. Continue. Verse 7. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This latter is an expression many times used by Ezekiel, referring to the second coming of Christ. Our peoples as a whole do not really know that Christ is Lord. The state of California does not. Their invasion of God's property shows they think Caesar is Lord. So there is no mistaking the timing of this prophecy. It is to happen in the approximate near future, but we cannot set dates. See, Mr. Armstrong did not set dates. Speaking to the clergy. Now listen to this, brethren. Next subtitle, speaking to the clergy. To continue through Ezekiel, expounding it, would take 100 pages. But, listen, speaking especially to the ministry of God's church, I want to include some of chapter 34, where it speaks of the clergy of the American and British peoples. Pause from reading. So, we do know that Mr. Armstrong did use those scriptures for many years, 1930s and 40s and 50s, to apply those scriptures to the clergy or the ministry of the American and British peoples as a whole. But, see, what he says here, let me go back and read it, to continue through Ezekiel, expounding it would take 100 pages, but here's the warning, friends and brethren, and ministers, he says, but speaking especially to the ministry of what? God's church. I want to include some of chapter 34 where it speaks of the clergy of the American and British peoples. And the next sentence is in all capital letters. Listen, let us be careful lest any of this apply to the ministry of God's church! Exclamation point. Let us be careful lest any of this apply to the ministry of God's church. We'll pause from reading. Well, it did apply to God's church. And look what's happened today to the ministry of God's church. They have done exactly what this prophecy says. They've gone astray, and they fed themselves, and there is no loyal shepherd. I'll continue reading. He begins with the actual verse. He says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. So yes, spiritual, like I've said many times, brethren, spiritual and physical Israel. So yes, it's to God's church. Most importantly, to God's church, like Mr. Armstrong said in that sentence I just read, especially to the ministers of God's church. Well, why do I emphasize that? Because they and the ones that they're leading are the ones in danger of losing it all, because judgment is now upon us. See? I'll continue reading again. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord Eternal unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? He has parentheses with the Word of God. See, the Word of God. That's where the food comes from, Jesus Christ. He's the Word. That's why I spent so many times, brethren, in Revelation 3, 20, 21, where Christ says he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone answers, he will die. Come in and dine with him. That's where your spiritual feeding comes from, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Continue reading. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, verses 2 and 4. Some of our ministry wanted to do away with healing. God put healing in his church. He put it in 1900 years ago through the original apostles. He put it in today's era of the church through me, his apostle. See, so did Mr. Armstrong think he was not an apostle? No, he knew he was. He stated it right here. I'll say it again. He put it in today. That's the talk about the healing doctrine. He put it in today's era of the church through me, his apostle. Listen to this. He says, do not be guilty of neglect in this important doctrine. But the Catholic and Protestant ministers rely on human doctors and medicines, and God here upbraids them for this. And today, pause from reading, God is upbraiding his true ministry for this, and for all the other doctrines you've departed from and watered down and conveniently overlooked and omitted, and the ones that you've added. You're being upbraided by God for this, and it's going to get worse. Continue reading. Continue verse 4. Neither have you sought that which was lost. Here, speaking of the lost 10 tribes, certainly the clergy of traditional Christianity have not sought to locate the lost house of Israel. God revealed their identity and location to me before the present era of God's church was started. And it has always been a primary doctrine. What has? The identity of those lost 10 tribes. See, it's a primary doctrine of this church. Yet some few of our ministers have rejected this truth and even tried to destroy it from the church. Pause from reading again. Well, that's going on today as well, along as with many other primary doctrines. See, many, many doctrines. I'll continue reading. Well, I was overseas and did not know they were doing it. Some, under my son Garner Ted, reduced the booklet U.S. in Prophecy, eliminated vitally important parts of it. A new full edition of this important book is now in process of being published, full size. This book was one of the two or three that did more to build this church than any others. Continued in Ezekiel 34, verses 4 through 11. But, and he has parentheses, even though you did not seek to locate the lost house of Israel, you were ministers among them, unknown to yourselves, and, close parentheses, with force and cruelty have you ruled them. Pause from reading. Brethren, have any of you been ruled with force and cruelty over the last 21 years? I have. I know many of those in contact and fellowship with us have. Force and cruelty, spiritually, you rule them. Now, listen, continue on. And they were scattered, Mr. Armstrong has parentheses, spiritually, into many sects and denominations, close parentheses, because there is no shepherd. Pause from reading. Well, today it's the same thing, except worse, because now not only have the national Israelites been spiritual, he says right here, and they were scattered spiritually into many sects and denominations. Well, that's what's happened into God's church today. It's exactly what's happened to God's church. It has been spiritually scattered into many sects and denominations. In essence, because there's only one true church of God, see? There's only one true church of God, and it's non-denominational, see? It's the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Anyway, he goes on and says, because there is no shepherd, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord Eternal, behold, I am against the shepherds. He has parentheses. Listen to this, brethren. Parentheses, Mr. Armstrong says, be careful, this does not apply to any of you. Ministers, see, close parentheses. Be careful, this does not apply to any of you. And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For thus says the Lord Eternal, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out at Christ's second coming. So, pause from reading. So, again, I state, for any of you ministers or members or brethren who think that Mr. Armstrong never used this, Ezekiel 34, as a warning to God's ministry, you stand corrected. And I stand corrected if I thought that. And you have a choice to believe God's apostle or the man that you're following. There's many ministers out there who say that, oh, Mr. Armstrong never taught that. Well, I just showed you otherwise, and I am going to post this, the text of it, as an article on the website. It will be on the website hopefully in the next day or two. I'm in the process of transcribing it from a scanned PDF file. It's just a photograph of the actual original article, so I have to transcribe it into Microsoft Word where I can put it into the website as a page, so it'll take me a little time to do that, but it'll be up there in its entirety because it's a very, very powerful and important article. I'll continue reading. Next subtitle, Dire Punishment is Ahead. I will break off there, Mr. Armstrong says, for lack of space, but chapters 5 and 6 of Ezekiel, combined with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, pause from reading. It'd be good for us to go back and look at those blessing and cursing chapters, because they're about to be fulfilled, and they're beginning. They're beginning right now. I'll read this again, but chapters 5 and 6 of Ezekiel, combined with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, and other scriptures, such as Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22, that's where the tribulation is. Jeremiah chapter 30, show the United States and Britain are going down, down, down into utter defeat. Slavery and dire punishment for our national sins. Pause from reading. And I can tell you, brethren, also for our spiritual sins. National sins, yes, but also because of our spiritual sins in God's church. I'll continue reading. Beginning 1800 to 1803, we inherited the vast national promises of material wealth, power, and prestige that God promised to our father Abraham. We have enjoyed a living standard higher than any nation in history. Yet, what have we done with these blessings? We have turned from our God, and all of our educational process have taught instead the godless theory of evolution. We have allowed our family life to be destroyed. Our morals have sunk into the cesspool. We have endorsed and given our national blessings to sodomism, or modern-day homosexuality is another way of saying it. We have been unethical and dishonest in our business and commercial dealings. We have rejected God's Sabbath, parentheses, he says, not this church, and God's ways, and turned to Satan's ways. Well, pause from reading again, because that parenthetical statement that he says, not this church, well, 21 years later, or actually more than that, since he wrote this article, basically close to 30 years, coming up on 30 years, 28, where he says, we have rejected God's church, not God's Sabbath, not this church. Well, today we see that even the church has, even a large part of the church has, and even the ones that are think that are keeping the Sabbath are not keeping it the way they should, see, or any other holy days, for that matter. That's why God says he doesn't acknowledge their offerings anymore. Continue reading. The sun already has set on the British Empire, which as an empire exists no longer. The United States is now caught in the vice of inflation, in an economic situation where our high living standard is being swept from us. Down, down we go. Pause from reading again. Our brethren, I'm going to be spending some time. I've been doing a lot of study, and well, for years actually, but just paying a lot of close attention in the last couple of years to our economy. And I don't care what they say on the news, but our economy is not in good shape. And it will not take much to make it just be sucked out from under us. And so I'm going to be spending some time in the near future on some messages and maybe some articles for the website on what to be watching for this economy, because it is going to collapse. And when it does, it's going to come fast and hard. So Mr. Armstrong warned us in the early 80s, prepare to drastically reduce your standard of living. Have we done that? See, are we prepared for that? Continue reading. And soon God will send such drought that it will bring disease epidemics. We'll be paused again there from reading. What do we see right now, brethren, in the news? You know, I live in the northern part of the state of Georgia, but virtually 95% of the state of Georgia and a lot of the southeast right now and the Midwest and other parts of the country, huge regions, are in a grip of a severe drought. The country of Australia is in a tremendous drought right now. Tremendous drought. If you read any international news, you'll see that they're in dire straits or quickly approaching it. And that's just not, that's just two of the Israelites' countries. And even within this own country, where there's places where we have severe drought, in other places, like parts of Texas, are being hammered with relentless rain. So it's flooding here, drought there. But let me continue reading, because it really, and it's not global warming, remember, it's God warming. These are God's prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. I'll continue reading now. And soon God will send such a drought that it will bring disease epidemics that will take the lives of a third of our people. After that, our cities shall be destroyed. which never could have happened before, before we first invented and produced nuclear mass destruction. The remaining third of our proud people will be removed from this country into slavery. Those left of us finally will repent. God says he will not make a full end of us. Finally, Mr. Armstrong says, parentheses, Ezekiel 20, verse 33 and verse 42 through 44, as I live, says the Lord Eternal, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury, the last plagues poured out, will I rule over you. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you, not Judah, the Jews, but our people, Israel, into the land of Israel. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves. And you shall know that I am the Lord, O you house of Israel, not Judah or the Jews. Then shall come the kingdom of God. Satan shall be abolished. Christ, with the church converted into spirit immortality, shall rule. Those still living shall have learned their lesson, and peace and happiness and joy shall flood the earth. That's the end of the article, end of reading that article. And brother, I just wanted to read that article because it's so very, very important and very much up to date. And those prophecies are going to be fulfilled very soon. You know, Mr. Armstrong gave the preliminary message of the Ezekiel watchman warning. He was the Ezekiel watchman unto the house of Israel. And today, God has watchmen to warn his people. And it's in this time, the warning is primarily to his spiritual people, Israel, spiritual Israel. But it will also go on out to the nation of Israel. It has been witnessed to already. But so the warning today is to spiritual Israel because they're going to be caught in it. God's word says there that Amos are going to be the first to go into captivity with those national captives. So I wanted to reiterate that and notice something over in the book of Micah. We'll conclude here. This is a relatively short message here today. Notice Micah chapter 7, I believe it is. Yeah, Micah chapter 7. Let us begin in verse 1. It says, woe is me. So we're here with the time that we're about to enter into. Spiritually, we already are. But this is what it's about to happen, and some of this has happened. Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat. See, I've covered this before. There is no cluster of first fruits. There should be the first fruit harvest, which is God's, what God's church is supposed to be, the first fruit harvest for his kingdom, is not ready. It should have been. That's what we should have been doing the last 21 years. Instead, it's rotten. See, it's rotten. It's just scattered. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit, which my soul desires. See, that's what God wants. That's what his soul desires. But notice verse 2. The faithful man, see, or loyal, the loyal or faithful man has perished from the earth. And Mr. Armstrong was that faithful or loyal man that God used to restore his government and his truth back into his church. The faithful man has perished from the earth. So now we're going to see what the result of that is. There is no one upright among men. See, there's none, definitely none among the ministry, says Ezekiel 34. That's Jesus Christ speaking there through Ezekiel. They all lie in wait for blood. See, that's right. That's what they do. Feed themselves. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Verse 3, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. Verse 4, the best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. So that's what's happened in this country, physical, but yet spiritual Israel, too, the church. Notice the next verse. The day of your watchmen and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. So when God sends these watchmen, there's no delay. It's going to come now, he says. The day of your watchmen and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. So now this warning message is going out, and there's not going to be a delay. Time's not going to continue on. We don't have that much time, brethren, not much at all. God's giving a little time for a warning message, and that's it. Time is up. So this warning is to all of us. primarily God's people today, spiritual Israel, but yes, indeed, also still it will go out to national Israel and eventually the whole world, as it says there in Jeremiah. Let's just turn to Jeremiah. We'll conclude there as a review, because it does tie in with this and what's going on right now in God's work and in His Word, and His Word is up to date, and so is His work. And I've gone over this over and over, but we'll go on, we'll conclude with this because it does tie in with Ezekiel's warning message and what's going to happen soon to this country. Those prophecies are going to be fulfilled very soon. Jeremiah chapter 6, brethren, Jeremiah chapter 6, and begin in verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Eternal, stand in the ways and see." So if you want to see, you need to stand in the ways. Which way was that? The way that God revealed, see, through that one man, the end time. And here's part of our message. And ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. So that's part of what this message is through this website, this warning work. Get back to that good way and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. See, that's what the overall outlook and view is of God's people today, especially some of those that come across our website and they just don't like the message. But notice verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpets. So the trumpet's being blown right now. You're being warned, ministers, brethren of God, my fellow Americans, any who will listen and heed, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Why? Because time of great perplexity is about to come. Jacob's trouble is at our doors. Better listen. But they said, we will not listen. Verse 18, therefore hear, all you nations, see, that's all the nations of Israel, and know, O congregation, see, church of God, what is among them? Hear, O earth. So this is going to go out to the whole earth eventually. Why? Because it's God's word speaking. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity upon this people, the fruit of their own thoughts, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. So that's where we stand today, friends and brethren. We have a choice of being corrected now and heeding this message, this warning of Almighty God, or we're going to go into this time of calamity and this time of perplexity. I hope none of us do. I hope and pray none of us do. Unfortunately, God's word shows many, many will, even of His own people. Well, I hope this message has been helpful. And I just wanted to read this important article from Mr. Armstrong. And I will be putting it as a standalone article on the website in the next few days. So you can read it with your own eyes and maybe listen to this message and read it along with it. See the words yourself in black and white. So I hope it's been helpful to some. And this will conclude this one. And until next time, do take care. I love you all.